Welcome back to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we mentioned the story of a Wisconsin woman who urged President Lincoln to create a system of hospitals to treat Civil War veterans. But Cordelia Harvey had made her mark long before she met with the president on behalf of soldiers. Harvey was a schoolteacher, the wife of a Wisconsin governor, and caretaker to the wounded and sick Wisconsin soldiers in hospitals close to the raging Civil War. And it was in that latter capacity that she first became famous, known around the hospitals as the Wisconsin Angel because of her dedication to caring for the wounded. At a time when women had few roles in war, Cordelia Harvey became a true Civil War heroine and a passionate advocate for soldiers and later veterans. Author Bob Kahn felt more Wisconsin students needed to know her story, and so he wrote a biography for young readers called Cordelia Harvey, Civil War Angel. He tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce about Harvey's humble beginnings.
Well, her family moved from Bear Center, New York, to what was then called Southport, what we now know as Kenosha, about 1840. The following year, as a 17-year-old, she became a school teacher, which wasn't all uncommon back then. And there's a marvelous quote from one of her students basically saying that at recess time she would take off her shoes and she would play tag with all the other kids, but when she put on her shoes, she got serious and was a school teacher again. So she continued teaching at what was called the Southport Academy. Lewis Harvey was the principal of the school, and he had come to Wisconsin from East Haddam, Connecticut, also around 1840 or 1841. He eventually became the postmaster for the area, edited the local newspaper. They married in 1847. They moved to Clinton Corners near Beloit, where they opened up a general store. In 1847, Lewis also served on the Wisconsin Constitutional Convention, which wrote Wisconsin's Constitution. And he started developing a reputation as a great orator, a great politician. 1848, they had a daughter, Mary, who died 4 years later of what was then called canker rash, what we now know of as scarlet fever. 1852, Lewis was elected to the Wisconsin State Senate from Rock County. They moved to Madison in 1859, when Lewis became the lieutenant governor, and then in 1861, he was elected to be Wisconsin's governor.
When Lewis became governor, that was right around the time that the Civil War was breaking out. Tell me about his role as governor in the war.
So Lewis became governor when the war had been raging for about 8 months, and he immediately established himself as a friend to the soldiers. Perhaps the first thing he did once he was in office was lobby the legislature successfully to increase the wages for the soldiers. And he heard about the Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee, where many soldiers from Wisconsin and elsewhere had been killed or seriously wounded. Lewis being Lewis, he immediately organized a mission of mercy. He got a bunch of doctors, medical supplies, and he brought them to Tennessee to do what he could to help the soldiers. Well, he delivered the supplies. He wrote a letter back to Wisconsin saying he had done a good work. He was really glad that he went. And he was on his way returning home when he stepped off one ship and was about to board another at Pittsburgh Landing in Tennessee when he slipped and he fell in the Tennessee River and he drowned. He had been Wisconsin's governor for only 94 days, and so Wisconsin suddenly had lost their governor. Cordelia had lost her husband, and the soldiers had lost a great friend.
Now, what did Cordelia do almost to continue that legacy of her husband?
Well, after Lewis died, she went back to their home, which was then in, depending on how you pronounce it, Chaupière or Chaupière, again near Beloit, and she tried to figure out what to do with her life. Her husband had died, her daughter had died. And Senator Timothy Howe, who must have been a friend of the family, suggested to Cordelia that she become Wisconsin's allotment commissioner. And that meant her job would be to make sure that the soldiers sent back a good portion of their wages to their families so they had some kind of income. Well, Senator Howe and Cordelia must have proposed this to the new governor, Edward Salomon. And Salomon had a different idea. He suggested that Cordelia become Wisconsin's sanitary agent. What this meant was she would visit the hospitals in the South where Wisconsin soldiers were being treated or recovering, and her job would be to report back to the governor and tell him what the conditions were like. She then takes a boat along the Mississippi to Cape Girardeau, which is about 150 miles south of St. Louis, and then she fully experiences the horrors of war. She sees about 150 soldiers from the Wisconsin 1st Cavalry, who she had previously seen back in Wisconsin before they were mustered and went to battle. Only this time she described them as looking as ghosts of their former selves. She said they were crying, oh, mother, please help me. One of the soldiers said he was in so much pain he wished that he was dead, like her husband was. And I think this is a pivotal moment in Cordelia's life, because I've read lots of accounts of both women and men like Cordelia who weren't fighting but went to try and support the troops in other ways in the South. And many of them just found the horrors too terrible and understandably turned back and headed back up north.
What did the soldiers feel about Cordelia? She gained a nickname, the Wisconsin Angel.
She developed this reputation, I think, not only amongst the soldiers, but amongst the medical staffs and the military staffs as well, as being this extraordinarily kind, compassionate woman and equally competent. That is, anything that she did well. And she did it with no ego involved, and it was totally to try and help the soldiers. And women generally were not welcome in the South, at least northern women who were trying to do good works. The military staff and the medical staff either saw them as sort of too weak and squeamish and they'd never be able to withstand the misery that they'd be surrounded by, or they saw them as distractions. The men would have some sexual attraction to the women and they wouldn't get on with the business of war.
Let's skip ahead a little bit to how Cordelia met Mr. Lincoln.
Imagine the two most compassionate people who have ever lived, who have totally different purposes when they get together. Cordelia, over time, when she was in the South, had an idea that she wrote regularly to Governor Salomon, which is she thought they should open up military hospitals in the North. Back then, nobody knew about germs, and so people believed what were called miasmas, bad air, was causing contagion and disease. The hospitals back then were just unimaginably different than our hospitals today. Oftentimes, they were just converted school buildings or apartment kind of buildings, terrible ventilation, the smells from festering wounds, from dead bodies that weren't taken away, from toilets that were nearby just filled the air. So Cordelia believed this bad air was making things worse for the soldiers, so she started writing Governor Salomon, encouraging him to open up military hospitals in Wisconsin. Now, meanwhile, there's President Lincoln, who had been told by his military advisors, his medical advisors, that in no uncertain terms should he open military hospitals anywhere in the North. They believed that the soldiers would desert. Well, about April 1863, after about 6 months of caring for the soldiers, Cordelia herself got sick. She was so sick that friends had to bring her back to Madison to take care of her. That still wasn't working, so they took her to upstate New York, where she had sisters in Buffalo, and eventually she recovered. When she came back to Madison about August 1863, she was totally, totally convinced that since she recovered by breathing this good northern air, and also because back in the North, she and other soldiers would have care from their families and they'd be able to bring them good food and take care of them, she's absolutely convinced that there have to be these military hospitals in the North. And so she convinces Governor Salomon. They circulate a petition around Wisconsin and 7,000 citizens sign it. And so Cordelia sent to Washington, D.C. to then meet with President Lincoln to try and convince him to open military hospitals in Wisconsin against the wishes of his military and medical advisors.
This is so unusual at this time for a woman to kind of have this influence. Like you referenced before, I mean, this is before women had the vote. This is before women really, you know, had careers. And yet, here she is going to meet with the President of the United States.
It was quite extraordinary, and I think it's just a testimony to what an extraordinary woman that she was. And remember, she didn't, you know, start out in this business of taking care of soldiers. It kind of fell into her lap after her husband died, and she's trying to figure out what to do with her life. But I think, you know, the cream rose to the top in the sense that she probably always had these tremendous capabilities but never had an opportunity to exercise them. And when she began meeting with President Lincoln, even at that first meeting, although it was a very, very interesting conversation between the two of them, because they're simultaneously diametrically opposed to what the other person wanted. But you see sort of shreds through the interview of them caretaking each other. And after the first interview where Abraham Lincoln hadn't decided, he sent her to meet with Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. And he sent her with a note to Stanton that basically said, listen to this woman, she talks good sense. So Cordelia's been lobbying Lincoln for 2 days. She wakes up on the morning when he's finally going to make his final decision. She has a pit in her stomach, feeling like she's failed miserably. Lincoln had told her to come back to his office at 12 o'clock, and she's waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, at 3 o'clock, he comes out of his office and asks her to come in. She looks at him, and he just must have looked so haggard and so beleaguered that she said, essentially, you know, you're really very too tired. Let's do it another time. Again, she's caretaking for him. And he says, no, 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 please sit down. And he says, I just want to tell you that 24 hours ago, I gave the order to open a military hospital in Wisconsin. She bursts into tears. She says, thank you, thank you. You won't regret it. So basically, they finished business. And then Abraham Lincoln flirts with her. He says, do you find me handsome? And she laughs and with a twinkle in her eye. And after he's now agreed to her demand, she said, you are very handsome to me now, Mr. President. And they both laugh. And as she's leaving, she thinks, God bless you, Abraham Lincoln. And she later writes that so went the most amazing interview with the most extraordinary man I've ever met.
We don't hear very often about women as Civil War heroes, and yet I think Cordelia meets every criteria for being a real Civil War hero.
Certainly, she was a great hero during the war, and she was very, very modest and often talked about the little I have done to help the soldiers. But I would argue for literally the thousands of soldiers and the hundreds of children from the orphanage whose lives had been improved as a result of her efforts, she did a lot more than little. And I think calling her the Wisconsin Angel or the Florence Nightingale of Wisconsin was very, very appropriate for what she accomplished.
Well, Bob Kahn, thank you so much for bringing us the story of Cordelia Harvey.
My pleasure.
Bob Kahn is the author of Cordelia Harvey, Civil War Angel, part of the Badger Biographies series published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Kahn is a storyteller, juggler, magician, and educator, and has written several other biographies for young readers. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can find more of their interview as supplemental audio at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll have one more short break, and then rock musician turned Civil War reenactor David Kincaid performs in our studio. He'll talk about and play Irish-American Civil War songs. That's coming up next on Lake Effect on WUWM.